This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Voicemails. I'm sure Phil's got a great edition of Today in Music History. It might include what he wagered on, what he did for the weekend, what he had for breakfast. You never know what Phil's going to throw in there.
By the way, can I just mention that we put the poll up on
YouTube chat.
Should Trump do a second debate? Should Trump do a second debate? That was the question.
I take a guess?
Yes.
I haven't looked. I'm going to say 32% say yes.
You're very close. 40% say yes, 60% say no. Okay, let's close that poll and ask a separate question. So that is, should Trump do the debate? My next question for you is, will Trump do the debate? Will Trump do the debate, yes or no?
Boy, you know, he didn't do primary debates because he didn't have to, and I defended that. He's done two. He's done one against each candidate, Joe and Kamala. Will he do it? I think there's a part of him that's itching to do it, but I will say no. I think if he's being, my guess is he's being advised not to do it, and I think he is taking that advice. So I will say no.
Dawn?
I think he probably won't.
Okay.
Okay. So we're in agreement there.
All right. So yeah, we're all in agreement.
Okay.
No. Will Trump do a second debate? Not should he, will he?
Right.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Remember, if you're there, when you're there, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit all the buttons, and go vote right now. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT.
I will say, though, I think he's going to do, because everything, the news cycle changes day by day, week by week. And so I think he's going to do whatever. That's the thing about him. He's flexible. He's not working from some script.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's going to do what he has to do. And it's to his advantage toward the end of the campaign because he is a veteran mm-hmm. at this now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The experience that he has gained over the last 8 years compared to what she has been tasked to do and failed to do and refuses to do, it's not even close. I mean, we're talking about a guy running for office for the third time versus mm-hmm. The newbie, even though she's been around 5 years, 6 years at this level. It's not even close for sure. All right, 855-839-1210. I want to get to this Mets story coming up with a Mets fan and a MAGA hat and a lawsuit that has transpired since then. But before we do all of that, let's get to the news. Let's find out what's going on. Maybe people are doing donuts, I don't know, at 15th and Market right now. We will wait no longer. Time for a Dawn Stens on Big 3 at 907.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Indeed, we have Donald J. Trump returning to Pennsylvania today for two big events in the battleground state, both in western PA. First, he's scheduled to appear in Smithtown, Westmoreland County, addressing the Protecting America Initiative led by Richard Grenell. That's the group who they're led by. And Grenell, by the way, served as acting director of national intelligence under Trump. and then former U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, who's a Republican from New York, who was, of course, one of the former president's strongest backers on Capitol Hill. So that's earlier in the day, and then that'll be followed by a big rally at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Trump speaks 7 p.m. Remember, this is about 50-plus miles east of Butler,
yeah,
where the former president was shot back
correct.
In July, July 13th, outdoor rally.
Good old IUP. I know it well. Little Division II school.
And so he's scheduled to spend then the rest of the week in other battleground states, Georgia and Michigan. But remember, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she'll be here this week for a luncheon. So other surrogates will be here. It'll be a busy week of campaigning.
Yeah.
As far as Harris, back in the campaign says, I was trying to look up because there aren't a lot of details from Vice President Kamala Harris.
Wait, there's not campaign. A lot of details about
shocking.
Kamala Harris? Really? You could have stopped right there. It'd been 100% accurate.
Reportedly here in PA Wednesday, but it looks like the Pittsburgh area, and looking at unveiling new economic policies on Wednesday.
What communist idea that'll fail will she roll out that the mainstream media will squash her for? I have to think about this one tonight.
But you think about that late September and announcing, because we still don't have all the details. And I know there was another economic summit and others were talking in the industry as far as energy, saying she still has not, the Harris campaign has still not released all the details on energy and fracking.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pushing her over the weekend to get that done. So maybe we'll see more details.
Okay. By the way, on the Michigan front, and I get you can't leave any stone unturned, but we've talked about this path of least resistance, and now all of a sudden North Carolina's in the conversation because of, you know, maybe the Mark Robinson thing and some of the polls. If you're Trump, do you stop going to Michigan at this point? I mean, I'm not saying you punt on it by any stretch, but it does seem like it's a state where Kamala's probably going. I would just put, if you're going to have like your eggs in one basket, I'd put them in PA.
The problem with North Carolina is that because of the Mark Robinson situation, you're going to get a lot of donors and everything who are not going to put money into his campaign.
No,
which
you're
means
right.
If they're not putting money into his campaign, which means it's going to mean the Trump campaign is going to have to spend more dollars in North Carolina that they probably didn't need to if they had strong candidates in said state that could lift up the entire ticket.
Well, Lindsey Graham came out over the weekend and said if the allegations against Mark Robinson are true, that makes him unfit to serve. Although Lindsey Graham did give this caveat that he will still back Mark Robinson even if the allegations are true if he agrees to funnel money for wars.
By the way, all those posts were mysteriously deleted over the weekend.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw that.
Well, it's like Usher with the Diddy posts. He got hacked. When in doubt, you got hacked.
Yeah, the debacle that's happening in North Carolina, the question is, what happens down ticket?
Yep.
And so they've all but said now that because of the controversy with the lieutenant governor, and by the way, he is currently the lieutenant governor of the state of North Carolina. So all this is like, oh, Trump endorsed him. Well, of course he did. He's the lieutenant governor. Nobody could have predicted that this allegation of more than a decade ago that he was on some freaky-deaky site saying stupid stuff.
So according to people who are very close to politics in North Carolina, it's kind of been a well-known secret there.
Oh.
that he's a freak like that.
Well, then why didn't it come out till now?
Well, that's the question I brought up last week. But who's the blame on? Like, I can't sit here and blame Trump. Like, Trump can't personally vet these people 16 years back. If there's a failure to vet, it's on his staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way I would view it. Same thing with Kamala Harris. Like, you think Kamala Harris vets every single person that she puts an endorsement on? There's no way. There's got to be a team that does this.
Well,
because Kamala's busy.
So if you look at the polling, and we've been referencing this North Carolina or the New York Times Siena poll that came out this morning or late last night, Trump is in the lead in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it's by 2 points, but this guy, this Mark Robinson, has been down by 10 points for the entire campaign.
Yeah. So the fact that they could not get him to step aside by that midnight deadline last week that we talked about, that's a real problem because Democrats, they got Joe Biden to step down.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Who's next? Mark Robinson, you're next. That's who.
But my point in that is that it hasn't affected Trump, at least in the polling for North Carolina, because, like I said, Mark Robinson has been a terrible candidate and has been running at least 10 points behind his opponent. So and it hasn't affected the top of the ticket. So right. Will it affect the top of the ticket on Election Day? Who knows?
I will say this, though. If Trump is only up 3, 4, 5 points in North Carolina, that concerns me. I also think it's kind of ridiculous that people are trying to argue now that Florida's in play for Kamala. To me, Florida's in play for Kamala, like New York's in play for Trump. It's not going to happen.
They're saying it because of abortion.
Yeah,
and a lot of people are throwing Texas in there too because Ted Cruz looks like he's in trouble.
See, I would argue
they're still saying he'll pull it out,
and I don't think Texas will go blue.
We do this all the time.
I know, sorry.
But like seriously, Texas. Like, Texas is far closer to going Democrat than Florida.
We do this every election cycle. Every election cycle we do this. They're like Democrats put money into Texas, and like, I think it's going to be, and Texas always goes red. It always will go red.
But if you're asking me what's more likely to go blue, Texas or Florida, I would say Texas. Because of the big blue cities like Dallas, Houston.
I know. Both of them are going to go red.
Yeah.
Both of them are going to go red.
Well, that's what the Cook Report, which is like the Bible of elections, claims. But who knows?
I would say the easiest, I would think, out of all of those states that Trump won in 2016 and 2020, the easiest one for him to lose, I think, is North Carolina because of those issues in North Carolina.
But understand.
But it's the only one he's won twice.
But understand with North Carolina, the difference is all the people, because of the pandemic, that moved south.
Yep.
Are those North Carolinians, are they energized?
But Raleigh is like the new tech hub of the world. Yeah. So you get a lot of tech bros there and like younger families and stuff.
Yep.
So, whereas I do agree with you, Dawn, a lot of people moved to those, southern states during the pandemic. I think there was an influx, too, of a lot of younger people because of all the tech jobs.
The most frustrating? That's the same thing with Nashville. It's the same thing with Atlanta. These people leave blue states, not just for the weather, not just for lower taxes, but like all of these, especially you're talking about COVID and the restrictions that were placed on you, and you flee it. You get rid of it.
Yep.
And then you still vote for it in the red state. I don't get that.
Yeah.
And I'm living proof of it. Like, I left Pennsylvania in 2018 to move to a red state, and I loved it. And then I started voting Republican further there. And when I came back, and these nut jobs, like Sean Farish will bring it up all the time, these New Yorkers that moved to Nashville because they're sick of the blue governors and the blue mayors. And then what do? Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. Just definition of insanity. Sorry, this is still Dawn's big three.
Yeah, sorry, big three. Number two. The man arrested for allegedly trying to, I have to say allegedly, for allegedly trying to assassinate former President Donald J. Trump on a Florida golf course is expected to appear before a judge today. This is Ryan Ruth, ordered to appear in a West Palm Beach federal court. This is a pre-detention hearing. So I point this out to you because oftentimes, this happened September 15th. During the court proceedings, we get more details. That's when they have to. Obviously, the prosecution, they try to give out more information as well as the defense team. But that's when we usually will learn new or more details. Remember, he's the one who was able to get within 300 to 500 yards. That's the number that they keep reiterating.
Yes.
300 to 500 yards.
Yeah, and I believe Josh Hawley over the weekend or Friday said that it is well noted that this golf course is a security liability for the president, and they've known that for quite some time, that there's just a lot of spots where Secret Service cannot see a potential threat and potential threat. Now, we know he didn't have line of sight vision to Trump, but there's plenty of spots out there where they would. So that's a concern for me as well.
Number three, there's a lot of health news. I'll go with this headline that deadly fungal infections are spreading like a silent pandemic. Can kill 40 million people over the next 25 years.
How many people can they kill, though, between now and November 5th?
No, right.
And should we lock things down?
Wear a mask. But this is a new study. I'm only repeating it because it was published in The Lancet, which, well, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, when The Lancet publishes something, it's significant. So researchers are talking about these drug-resistant infections that led to the deaths of more than that lead to the deaths of more than 1 million people every single year. And this is getting supersized. And so they're looking at over a 25-year period due to these infections, and they're saying nobody's talking about it. People are talking about bacterial antimicrobial resistance. That's happening when bacteria evolves and becomes more drug resistant. We hear about that all the time, especially if you have kids, you know, you're well versed on this. But what they're talking about, the threat of fungal pathogens and the antifungal resistance, this is a huge issue that's happening. The Lancet putting this out there, a lot of researchers dealing with this, but they're talking about this, warning people that if some action is not taken, the fungal infections can infect 6.5 million people and kill more than half of them every year.
Wow.
It's disproportionate, these fungal infections. It's no joke. And because my kid just had one because of football, if your kid plays sports.
I've got a story as well.
Right?
Go ahead.
It's the fungal. That's what we dealt with.
And kids are filthy human beings.
Then you take them to urgent care that misdiagnoses them because you can't get into the regular primary doctor.
Yes.
Because 100,000 plus primary doctors all left amid the pandemic.
Yep.
And you finally, a week later, after they've been taking the powerful antibiotics and the wrong cream, now it's like all over them and they look like they have leprosy. And then finally you get into primary.
Is this your news for one, Dawn?
And then finally it's fungal.
Yeah. You know what my daughter's dealing, Mia's dealing with a wart on her kneecap. And I got to tell you, those over-the-counter wart freeze-away kits, and first you do the little liquid, and it gets white and crusty, and that doesn't
like
work.
Like that psh thing?
And then you buy the freeze-away kit with like 8 pumps, and it's like $12 or whatever.
Yeah.
Garbage. Doesn't work. So now we're going to have to go and go into the, a dermatologist, and is going to pull out that big fire extinguisher and just go, and that'll kill it, and it'll flake up and fall off. And she'll scream because it's negative 40,000 degrees. Yeah.
But it'll get her done.
Oh, it works. I had a wart in 2021 on my foot in Nashville. It wouldn't go away. And I tried to take care of it myself. Never do that, by the way, because they spread. And then I got a second one. So I had to go to the dermatologist, and boom, they blasted them.
That's what you got to do.
It's fun stuff, too.
Get her done.
My kids were giggling, seeing daddy in pain. That comes in with like a mask on and a fire extinguisher. They're going to douse me.
Does anybody have video of that?
No. But there's a lot of moments in my life that we could put on video. I think it'd be a top seller.
Aaron, let's get your sister involved. Yep. And Kristen.
Family photographer, Aaron.
We are sponsored in our Big Three by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Just schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Kill & Company, Big Three. You've heard me talk about them, their story. Mike and Mark Chapman, two brothers, decided to create this business locally, Chester County. And as their business has grown, their families have grown. Just great guys. You know by now, if I needed windows, doors, or siding, I would only trust the Chapman team. If you're thinking of updating your front entry door, right now is the perfect time. For the entire month of September, Chapman is offering free hardware on a new front entry door up to the value of $500. So think about what an updated front door can really change. First of all, it's like an instant makeover for your entire home. Looks beautiful, changes the curb appeal of your home, increases the resale value, and just your own personal satisfaction. I think you walk up and it's like, it's such a nice makeover. Quick and easy. Whether you're looking for a single door, double door, or maybe a door with side lights, that's what I have. Their experienced project consultants are going to help you choose the perfect new door for your home. So if you or somebody you know are looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, the hardware, give them a call. Text 610-431-8898. Visit them online, chapmanwindowsdoors.com. Chapmanwindowsdoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Last story of the day. Phil, I don't know if you have the picture of this lady going to Citi Field, but this lady right here just got totally violated by the New York Mets. And I got to defend this lady here. Her name is Aura Moody. If you're on YouTube, you will see her wearing her red Make America Great hat again. She's got 45-47, so that's the newer one that's out there. We call that the Michael Pelka version. I've seen him golf with that thing on. And Aura Moody is 64, and she wants $2 million in damages over her MAGA hat ban at Citi Field, as she is citing emotional distress. I'm going to take you through this story. I thought it was fascinating, and I guess technically the Mets, as a, you know, I guess private company, can do what they want. I'm asking the question of, if Aura Moody walked in with a Harris Walls blue T-shirt, would she have been asked to take it off or leave the stadium? My guess is probably not. But she wants $2 million in damages, claiming she was barred from entering the stadium last month until she took off her MAGA hat, according to a September 6th Brooklyn federal court lawsuit. They go on to say, quote, "This country is supposed to be the beacon of freedom for all." Moody, 64, who is representing herself in court. She is a social worker and a mother of two. She said that she and her friend were wearing MAGA hats when they arrived at Citi Field on August 14th for a Mets-Oakland A's game. And she is accusing the Mets of, quote, "racial discrimination and political retaliation and reputational harm." And she is seeking $2 million in damages. She said that she tried to invoke her First Amendment rights multiple times, but was told by the staffer at the stadium that the MAGA hat was, quote, "too political," and she needed to take it off. I'm not sure what "too political" means. It's really amazing that people see that. They get so triggered by that. Like, the logic component of their brain shuts off, and they just go all emotional. Moody and her pal, who are both on the board of the club, only agreed to take their hats off because they were worried about inconveniencing the rest of their group that they attended the game with, who were already in their seats. Moody said the ban violated her right to free speech and caused her emotional distress, claiming, quote, "Moody attempted to de-escalate the situation and asked if she could put her MAGA hat in her bag, but was told no." Quote, "No, because you can put the hat back on once you get to your seat. You have to take a MAGA hat out of the stadium." So what is she supposed to do? Go out in Queens and just toss it in like a gutter? Is that good enough for the New York Mets? I know Phil Omquist is a Yankee fan, but I would love to see if this was a story with the Yankees, because it would probably get much more coverage than the Mets. A Mets employee says the following, that it was about the entire policy. A Mets employee was mistaken about the policy. "We are now reaching out to Aura to apologize and invite her back to the ballpark." I hope she, you know what? I don't think she's going to get $2 million in damages.
She might get something.
And I don't know that she has emotional distress. I think that's kind of frivolous. But
I think the point
she was wronged.
But what she's saying is that they especially did not want an African-American woman, a black woman wearing a MAGA hat. She says when they finally did get to their seats, there were other white people wearing their MAGA hats.
Really?
So she's saying...
Okay, I didn't see that part.
So she's saying, oh, it's because I'm black.
Well,
she's saying it's a civil rights, not just First Amendment, but civil rights.
Well, good for her. I hope she wins. I was going to argue that, you know, I could see the Mets just banning anybody from wearing a MAGA hat. Male,
no.
Female, white, black, didn't matter.
They don't have the policy. They called her and apologized.
They
don't have such a policy.
You know, again, I don't think she's going to win $2 million because I think these suits are very difficult to be victorious on. And, oh, by the way, she's representing herself, which is weird because, you know, it's not like you can't, quote, afford a lawyer, because in these cases, usually the lawyers only recover, only get compensated if they recover. Mm-hmm. My guess is most, if she did approach a lawyer, they're probably like, yeah, it's not worth our time because we won't win. We've been down this road before. And yes, technically, I guess the Mets can do whatever they want. But like, this is where we're at. See, this is done. This is what you talked about last two Thursdays ago over at Scottish Rite. This is why like Trump always overperforms in the polls. Because people are afraid to, like, this lady is a 64-year-old social worker, mother of two, trying to enjoy her game. And I guarantee you, if that was a blue Harris Walls hat, which, by the way, I don't think there's actually Harris Walls hats. I don't know. Do Democrats not wear hats? What's that about? I never see a Democrat hat, by the way.
There actually is one. Yeah. That's
is
camouflaged.
Really? Camouflage. Yeah.
Oh, they're playing into the Timmy Walls, you know. valor background. Right. Yeah. All right. So I just wanted to pass that story along. I felt bad for Aura Moody. I hope she gets her compensation.
I actually think the New York Post did a thing over the weekend. I think it was published in yesterday's Post that they had two Post reporters. One had Make America Great Again stuff on, and the other had Harris Walls stuff on, and to see if either was treated differently.
Now, see, that would be an interesting case study.
I believe they did that yesterday. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I read that story that they did yesterday, and it was, in fact, the people who wore the Make America Great Again stuff were treated differently.
You know what we should do? We should get body cam footage and get these little body cam technology, these little clips, and send Phil and Jimmy Kelly together to like a variety of businesses in Center City, Philadelphia, and one of them wearing a blue Harris Walls hat, and one wearing a MAGA hat, and let them go together almost like they're buddies, and go in and around shop, sit down, have a cup of coffee, and just video record them and see how they're treated separately, especially in this section of town. I'd love to see how that goes. We could do like a little. We'll be like Kamala. We'll copycat that. We'll take that from the New York Post, and we'll do Man on the Street here for 1210 WPHD. Which, by the way, we got to put one of these into play. We keep talking about Man on the Street. We never do it.
Well, we were going to do the
and I'm willing to participate.
The if the public knew who Kamala Harris was, I think we're a little too late on that one.
Right, you're right. You're right. We are.
It would have been better to do before she announced.
Yeah,
she's running for president.
Yeah.
Well, Olivia Nuzzi is out of work. She could do the person on the street stuff.
Oh, that's right. Her
and Bobby.
Her and Bobby with her.
Yeah.
Online relationship.
There are new juicy details on that.
Yeah.
Greg, can you tell us what maybe Bobby's first pickup line sounded like to Olivia the first time he approached her?
You could be. You're the same age as my daughter, and that's really hot for me.
Reportedly,
help me understand this.
He is considering litigation against her.
Against her?
Yeah. Claiming that she bombarded him with increasingly pornographic photos and videos, and he had at one point blocked her number.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can relate. After the big take, my inbox gets flooded.
It's, well, they're not going to. All right, let me just. First of all, I have no dog in this fight. I don't care one way or another. But she would allow herself to be put on leave if that was the case. You know what I mean? Like, you don't think that she has some sort of evidence that shows that you know he reciprocated with this?
Well, he's a Kennedy, so good chance she does, because all Kennedys are pigs.
By the way, have you seen her? Like, she's beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, she's 30. Of course. She looks like Cheryl Hine did 40 years ago.
No, I mean, her face is not.
Sorry.
It's not her face. She has a nice body, if you look at the pictures.
Okay.
It's her
right.
Face is like mid.
Mid, right.
But the body is.
Dawn's got the face at 6.2, the body at 8.7.
I'm being honest. I just think.
Love that honesty.
She knows how to use that body.
Yeah, man.
But the allegation is that Nuzzi allegedly tricked him into receiving. So he first blocked her number over a flirtatious remark.
Mm.
And then at some point she allegedly tricked him. She emailed him about urgent information about a hit piece being prepared against him. She emailed him, then he unblocked her number, and then she sent a provocative picture prompting him to block her again. That's the word from his attorney.
We got to set up a double.
I'm just saying.
We got to set up a double date between Bobby and Nuzzi and Nancy and that dude from CNN.
It's unbelievable.
What a time to be in American politics.
I don't believe any of it. Mm. I don't believe any of it.
All right, 9:40.
No, I just don't believe it. He's a Kennedy. He's a Kennedy. Of course he took the bait.
Yeah.
Of course he took the bait.
Yep.
Whether she was baiting him or not, I don't know, but, you know.
Yeah. We're going to do voicemails when we come back?
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the voicemails on the other side. What occurred today in music history, and what is on tap for the Dawn Show? Just 19 minutes out. Back after this, Talk Radio 1210.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
We get to our newest feature. We like to call it the Odyssey voicemail machine.
Good morning, Kale and Company people. This is Joe from Warminster, and I just wanted to thank you on this Monday, September 9th, for fixing the problem with your YouTube app as I watch it on my Roku TV. Now, I can listen to it on volume 23 up in my kitchen as I gaze down into the living room to watch it.
Wow.
Before, I had to have it on 90 to hear it.
Wow.
So whoever fixed that, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
And go Trump.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if anybody here fixed it, because I've noticed as a new YouTube TV subscriber that because I can't fix anything, until my wife fixed it with one of the remotes, I had to put, like, sports games up to, like, 75 just to hear it, at a decent volume. Hmm. Yet the commercials are incredibly loud. Like, I put the commercials at, like, 25, so I had to, sync everything up. But, yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I'm glad everybody's happy.
We have changed the processing a little bit, so.
Okay.
All right.
There you go.
It's considered gravy if it has meat in it. Mm. So a spaghetti sauce with meatballs and sausage cooked in the sauce, it is considered a gravy. Gravy is any sauce that is derived from meat.
Okay.
Fascinating.
So no gravy if it's just straight marinara. You can't call it gravy. You got to call it sauce.
Does sauce need to have meat in it?
Not always. I mean, do you like meat sauce? Do you like your balls? I mean, what do you like? I like meatballs personally. Lots of garlic.
But when you make spaghetti and you have sauce, you put meat in the sauce.
No, not always.
Then it would be gravy. If you put meat in there,
then it's gravy.
Yeah, but if it's vegetarian, if it's vegan, then it's sauce.
Okay.
Do you put meat in your sauce?
Sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know that anybody does it consistently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is Jason from Harleysville.
Hi, Jason.
Could you please stop teasing me with Bruno for a half an hour every Wednesday?
Uh-oh.
I either need Bruno every Wednesday from 6 to 10, or I need Bruno for a half an hour Monday through Friday.
Hmm. All right.
Oh.
That is all.
Spread it out.
Well, you know, maybe your budget's different than ours. Hey, what do you want from me, dude?
He wants to spread out the Bruno love.
Yeah. We got to ask Bruno this question about gravy, by the way, on Wednesday.
Should we bring Bruno on 6 to 10?
You know, why don't we just make it like The View? Let's have 7 people with like a CNN post-debate stage.
I'll take it under advisement.
As long as I don't take a pay cut, you can add as many voices as you'd like.
What's wrong with you? All right, I think that's where we're going to end today.
All right, that'll do it. I like the variety today.
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't get any Aussie singing or anything like that.
By the way, if you haven't done so yet, download the Odyssey app and hit the microphone button under 1210 WPHD.
Yes. Leave us
a voicemail. We'll get to it eventually. I mean, you heard that one from September 9th. So we're a tad behind.
Well, we're like Kamala. We're very busy, folks. We're very busy.
We're a tad behind.
All right, let's get to the music.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale & Company.
Today, September 23rd, we celebrate the birthdays of Neil Smith, drummer for Alice Cooper, who's now 77. And Bruce Springsteen, Greg's favorite, who's now 75.
I played him this morning.
Heavenly birthday shout-outs to John Coltrane, as well as Ray Charles. We also lost Robbie McIntosh from the Average White Band on this day in 1974. Singles include People Are Strange by The Doors in 67, Heroes by Bowie in 77, and Magic Carpet Ride by Steppenwolf in 68. Albums include Bridges to Babylon by The Stones in 97, Third Stage by Boston in 86, and Iron Maiden's first best of album in 96. Also in 2007, Lionel Richie is a guest on The Simpsons. In 2004, Slipknot's Corey Taylor issues a statement denying he was dead. In 89, Milli Vanilli was atop the singles chart. And in 1980, Bob Marley appeared on stage for the very last time. But lastly, on this day in 2013, Paul McCartney shut down Hollywood Boulevard with a 15-song set on the roof of the El Capitan Theater. An estimated crowd of 10,000 people listened from the streets. And as a reminder, Metallica pre-sale tickets go on sale today. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Omquist.
All right, Philip, great work.
One more thing.
Twitter.
I'm just going to give it to Richard Notaro, because apparently he's listening to us from the New Orleans airport. So,
what, did he go down to the Eagles?
Look at you.
Sounds like it. So,
wow. All right.
Thank you, Richard, for bringing us victory.
The 2-1.
Yeah.
Good luck.
There you go.
Good luck, charm.
All right. Dawn Stensland up in about 6 minutes. What do you have lined up for the top?
Yeah, we're going to update you on everything going on in Philadelphia as far as the chaos and craziness. We'll have the update on how the officer who is hospitalized is doing, how, and the results of the investigation. Have they been able to track anybody down and make arrests out of all those videos and the chaos. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk all things Trump, update you on Trump here in Pennsylvania, the surrogates. So we're talking about Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders and others who are here this week. We'll talk about all of that and then update you on that potential lawsuit. Is RFK Jr., is he a victim of a crazy chick stalker? We'll talk about all of it coming up. Hope Danoff is going to be in the house. She, as well, has some major news this week. So we'll talk to Hope.
So you've got Hope as a guest. But remember, folks, hope is not a strategy to win elections, even though Kamala's trying to tell you that. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your Monday. Enjoy the Dawn Show. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. I'm going to go shoot flamethrowers and do donuts in Bluebell. Until then,
let's go, Harry!
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.